Well, it's a match made in heaven. Now, their love story has been seen around the world.
I, Beecher, take you, April.
I, April, take you, Beecher.
I vow to love and honor you.
Promise to remain by your side.
I do.
I do.
This is the story of how a seemingly perfect Christian couple went against evangelical culture to embrace their authentic selves and found a healthier marriage in the process.
This is the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. Hi, welcome to the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. This is our very first episode, and we cannot wait to tell you, what on earth is a non-binary marriage? What does that mean? Who are you people? Well, for starters, my name is April, she, her.
And my name is Beecher, they, them.
And we are married. We've been married for, I don't know, I think almost 8 years, 7.5. Yeah. I keep jumping the gun and thinking that we've been married for like a decade, because it feels like that with the pandemic. And
yeah, a decade ago, I didn't even know you.
Is that right? It's 2022. Yeah, it's 10 true. Years ago, it was 2012.
Yeah. I was just about to meet you.
Just about to meet me. Yeah, we met in 2012 in August.
So we've been together almost 10 years and married for almost 8 years.
Yes, we have two kids. We have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And right before we started recording this episode, Beecher came out on TikTok.
I did.
As non-binary, which is kind of the point of this podcast. But Beecher, how do you feel?
It was wild. It was one of those things that obviously you and I've talked about for a long time. I'm out to all my friends and family, so I'm really not nervous about any of like the people close to me finding out. Mm-hmm. But it was a big day, and we kind of just decided this morning, like, let's do it. And so then I posted on TikTok like 45 minutes ago, and as of 15 minutes ago, it had like 7 views. So, and 3 likes, me, April, and April's brother. So
yes.
No hate comments. It was really, really a blessing.
We are very encouraging to ourselves. So who knows if TikTok's going to push that out. But it was a big deal because we are going to get into our story, but Beecher...
Can we start off with just like who we are?
Maybe? Who we are, sure. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, because everyone knows who you are, April LaJoy, famous TikToker, social influencer. Is there anything else you'd like to say on introducing yourself?
Sure. A little bit about me, if you don't know me. I am on TikTok, so you can find out lots about me there at April LaJoy, as Beecher said. Shameless plug. Cringe. That felt gross even saying. So I grew up super evangelical Christian and Republican and all of the things that good little conservative Christian girls do. My dad was a pastor, evangelist. We traveled around the country in a motorhome. I would sing before my dad would preach. We also traveled worldwide, did missions trips. I sang on some Christian TV shows such as The Jim Baker Show, sang an original, actually, called America Say Jesus. So can you say Christian nationalism? I've come a long way. Now I would be considered a deconstructing Christian, and all the conservative Christians that I used to be in circles with, not all, but a lot of them have blocked me or publicly shamed me or called me the Antichrist. I am not welcome in those circles anymore. So...
You're also a film producer?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Who are you?
Who am I? I produce a freelance independent film producer. I make...
She's produced 2 feature films. She doesn't act like she's great, like legit in that area, but she is. And, of course, she's also an influencer, which is fun.
Well, I think I produced... The 2 films I produced were before the pandemic, and so everything before the pandemic just doesn't feel real anymore. who are those people? So now I guess I'm an influencer. Brands pay me sometimes to do little ads. But what I love to do is humorously, in my bio it says I am humorously detoxing religion because I have a lot of religious trauma that I'm still unpacking. But I think if you can laugh at it, it takes the power away. So I make little comedic skits to kind of poke fun at the holes.
She's hilarious. She is the funniest person I know. And... I'm not the only one that says that. So you should go check out April LaJoy on TikTok. But honestly, if you're at this podcast, you're probably here because you love April LaJoy. And I love her too. So I'm her biggest fan. Mm. Y'all can take second.
You're so sweet. Okay, this is not going to be a smush fest. We're not going to smash either. Beecher.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah. So I am a screenwriter and filmmaker. I have several award-winning short films. I was a professor of film for 6 years. I worked at a church doing media. So I am kind of a creative video filmmaker, screenwriter, all that fun stuff. And we'll get into that journey. But yeah.
And you have an agent now.
I do have an agent. Yeah, that was an exciting development in the past 2 weeks. So I was like, you know what? I got an agent. This is exciting. Now I'm going to come out on TikTok. Let's just keep all of the excitement going.
And Beecher's also underselling themselves because they are a super talented filmmaker. And what's your website now?
It's Beecher.media. If you want to check out.
It's changed so many times. Beecher.media. You can see some of their short films and like, yeah, they're good. They're legit.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So now how about we define non-binary? I think that would be helpful to do since it's called the non-binary marriage.
Well, you should define it because wonderful. I feel like you were the one that taught me.
Yeah. That. So non-binary, and I mean, I'm still young at this because I mean, really, it was like 2 years ago that, or it was a year and a half ago that I came out to you as non-binary. Mm-hmm. But non-binary means that you don't identify as male or female, that you don't feel like either category really fits you. And it's under the trans umbrella, so the transgender umbrella. So transgender is a umbrella term for anyone that doesn't identify with the gender on their birth certificate. And then under the trans umbrella, there's trans female, trans male, non-binary, and really kind of a limitless number of other classifications.
Gender fluid.
There's a lot. But non-binary just basically means that the person doesn't feel comfortable identifying male or female. And that's regardless of presentation. So there can be non-binary people who look completely masculine and were assigned male at birth. And it doesn't negate that they're non-binary. So it's not someone isn't non-binary because of the way they dress. It's just oftentimes for someone that doesn't feel like they fit either the male or female category, they will express their gender in more creative ways that often blend what society might label masculine or feminine. And so oftentimes you kind of, you know, they'll do that. But once again, not always. So non-binary is really about how a person identifies and how they feel. And oftentimes if they don't feel like they're male or female and they've never fit like they never feel like they fit those boxes, they'll identify as non-binary. And that is very much how I identify now and where I have found so much liberation and peace this last year and a half to 2 years.
Yes. So the point of this podcast, which I meant to say this at the beginning, but it's basically the story of our relationship of how we went from two, you know, poster children for conservative evangelicalism. Like when we got married, we both identified as straight, cisgendered people. And now we're a queer couple. You're non-binary and I am definitely not straight. I'm not exactly sure what I am. I'm bi or pan or somewhere in the middle. But yeah, basically we went from the church absolutely adoring us. Beecher worked full time at a church doing video and production. I pretty much was a worship leader up until right before the pandemic. And so we've always just been good little church kids. And so this is the story of how we've wrestled with this. Wrestled feels gross, but at the time when we first got married. Beecher told me about what we now know was gender dysphoria a month into us dating.
You're the first person I ever told.
Right. But neither of us had the language to call it dysphoria. We thought it was a demon or a fetish or an addiction. So anyway, this story is basically how we went from treating this like something that needed to leave, like something that was bad, to now where we're celebrating it and have found the good in it and just want to tell our story. And we're also still Christians.
Yeah.
In the process.
I think too, when I come out to people, I've probably come out to 150 friends and family at this point. One of the first questions they ask me is, how is April with it? How's your marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a question that people immediately go to. And I think April and I have been through so many highs and lows in our relationship that this podcast is also about that journey. And I don't think it necessarily is only going to be about gender and non-binary, although that will be a huge part of it. But I mean, when we met and we saw the world, we were at a very, as you said, Pentecostal fundamentalist school, very, very, very much ingrained in that thinking, which is a very binary way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Everything's good or bad.
What's black that? And white.
Oh, Dungeons and Dragons. That's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, smoking. That's bad. Oh, Bible. That's good. You know, everything's good or bad. And I think not just with gender, but in the way that we view the world, the way that we view each other, we start to view things as more in between, as gray. And it's the journey of how do we go from these people that are trapped inside themselves, inside a world that's black and white, to now living in the liberation freedom that is color? And how in the world did we keep a marriage intact going along that process? Because there were parts where April was ahead of me, mm-hmm. and then I was ahead of her. And then how in the world did we navigate that? And so we'll go into detail mm-hmm. of on that journey for anyone that wants to hear. But this first episode is really kind of, okay, how does this relationship work today? How do we make our family work like yeah. this? And kind of where are we at now?
Yeah, and I think part of this conversation too is going to be talking about basically what led to our deconstruction. Because I, on my TikTok channel and my other podcast, Evangelicalish, I talk a lot about deconstruction, but I haven't been able to talk about this part of my story because Beecher wasn't out and they couldn't be out.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, there were a lot of reasons that we'll probably get into, yes. but they weren't out yet. And I was not at liberty to talk about it. So this, you know, Beecher's identity and then what we've gone through in our marriage is also a big part of the questioning our faith and kind of what's like led us to deconstruct larger parts of our faith, not just just gender issues.
I'm interested, and this is a conversation that we have a lot, but where would you say your faith is now?
I would say that I feel like my faith is to, like, I think faith is more of an action and less of what I believe specifically. Like, if I am genuinely loving people and being inclusive and trying to make room at the table and or trying to tear down the table and just like, who needs a table? Let's just all exist. My faith is very much connected to how I treat people and my heart. As far as my beliefs, I don't believe a lot of the evangelical things that I used to, which we might get into at different points. But I still believe in Jesus and I still love Jesus and the story of Jesus and his teachings. So I would still consider myself a Christian because I follow the teachings of Jesus. But I think you are... I had a little bit of an existential crisis about a month ago and I was like, I don't know if I believe any of it anymore. I'm just allowing myself to ask really hard questions, and I could tell you all the things that I believe, but I just don't think belief matters as much. It's an intangible. I think what matters far more is my heart and how I treat people and if I'm kind and if I'm just a good human.
I think one of the beauties of our relationship is when we got married, if I came in and said, you know, I don't know if hell exists, April would have had a look of fear immediately. Or if April had walked in and mm-hmm. been like, I don't know if healing is really a thing that God does, I would have had a look of fear immediately. And we would have jumped straight in. We often jump straight into, oh, no, you can't think that. You can't ask that. Here's why. Here's all the reasons. Get off the theology book. And we both held our beliefs so tightly. It was kind of like we were white-knuckling mm-hmm. our faith. And now... You know, a few weeks ago when April had an existential crisis and was asking a lot of big questions, I was like, it's okay. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. And this doesn't scare me. And I think with my gender as well, early on, it's like, oh, I really like that dress. And there was like a look of fear in your eye. And you're like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
What? And it was this huge ordeal where now I'm literally doing this podcast wearing a dress that you bought me.
You know what's cool is I didn't even realize you were wearing a dress. It's just like, it's just Beecher.
Yeah, because it's not a thing anymore. So I think that's the most beautiful aspect. And I really mean it's the most beautiful aspect that you don't scare me. Mm-hmm. I don't scare you. We're people. We are beautiful and fragile and messed up. And just,
yeah.
I think having a safe place in a marriage, in a relationship is... I'm getting emotional. Is everything. And it's what we didn't have for so many years. So I'm excited to get in how we went on that.
And just too. So you all know, this episode is an overview. But we are going to get into the weeds. And, you know, some of these episodes might be pretty heavy, like trigger warning. Because it was not... Neither of us accepted this well in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was definitely a struggle. A struggle is a good word for it. It felt like something we had to fight for a long time. And we're leading with this episode because we want you to know there's a happy ending, or, you know, it ends well. And that's where we are today. Like, our marriage has never been better. And like, I can genuinely say that. And honestly, I don't know that I've ever been this happy. Because I feel free. Like, your freedom has also given me the space to be free and to figure out myself. So, anyway, it's not all going to be this lovey-dovey. We're going to...
But I think it's important they actually see where we are. Because otherwise, what's the point of listening to the journey? And I think I will say about my faith very briefly, while we're not... super involved in a church, we'll go occasionally. I still prayer is still something I practice in my life, though not as regimented as I used to. I do consider myself a Christian. I don't think people go to hell. Oh my gosh, everyone's throwing stones at us already.
We lost them.
Yeah, no, there we go.
We lost the Christian. They
were
conservatives.
They were probably fine with me wearing a dress. It's just now that we don't believe in hell, now they're coming after us. But no, I've deconstructed a lot of things, but I do consider myself a Christian and still find peace and hope in the message of Jesus, and still cling to that, especially in times of stress or anxiety. And it's something that I really enjoy. I think it'd be great. Could we answer? I think we've talked about like a lot of really big question stuff. Practically, can we talk about what it looks like for us to, how do we make this work as a queer couple?
Currently?
Yeah. Like, do you remember early on, this was a few years ago, you and I sat down at the same table that we're at right now, and we listened to a podcast with, it was called...
Open
Marriage. I don't remember.
And the husband
was
non-binary or gender
non-binary fluid. Or drawn to feminine things or drawn to the idea of being
woman. I don't know that they even had defined it.
I don't know. But I know that we sat at this table and we listened like... so closely to every word. Mm-hmm. And so I hope, honestly, my hope for this podcast is that it reaches people who are feeling like we did 3 and 5 and 7 years ago, when we're like, oh my gosh, this is the scariest thing. How are we going to make this work?
Well, and we felt so alone too. We're like, there's no way anyone else is going through this.
Right.
This is so weird. Like, we're so odd. And I think, there's just got to be more people out there that are going through this. So if anything, hopefully this reaches those people. But also it's good for all the people that are like all of our conservative family and friends that have questions, that now think we're really off the deep end. We can point them to this podcast. I'm like, if you really want to know, you can go here and listen to our story.
So I think when we went to that podcast, I think one of our big questions was like, how do they make it work? Right. And they were in an open marriage. We're not an open marriage. We are monogamous. We don't have other sexual partners. Mm-hmm. They did. And I think that freaked us out a bit when we listened to it.
Almost
like can't quite hear this at the time. Where now I feel like we'd be much more able to listen to a podcast like that. But at the time we couldn't. So how do we make this work? Because I do think there'll be people that are coming to this with that question. And that's probably the first question. And then we can talk about how we got here in later episodes.
So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like right now it's so natural for the most part that I don't know. Like, I don't wake up in the morning and think, oh, how do I make this work today? Like, it just works.
So I will sometimes wear more masculine clothes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll wear more feminine clothes. Like, today I went to grab lunch with a friend and I had on eyeliner and mascara. And I got a haircut that, would you say this is pretty androgynous?
Yeah, or it's a pretty
probably a little more femme than, anyways, I got, you know, I've grew up my hair, but then I've cut it, I've shaved the sides. So I present pretty non-binary, but occasionally it'll be more femme, occasionally be more mask. And April gives me the freedom to do that.
And before it was not always this way.
No, but now that's
yeah,
that's how it goes, because it doesn't scare you anymore. I am not planning on medically transitioning. That is not something that I am shooting towards, or that's not a goal. I see a therapist that specializes in trans people and trans issues. And she was such a big help to me. I would say if you're out there and you think you're trans or you're dealing with gender dysphoria, the best thing you can do is go see a therapist that knows or specializes in gender identity. It was such a turning point in our lives. I see her every 2 weeks. I hope to see her every 2 weeks for the rest of my life. She is someone that obviously I've grown close to. I feel like I can tell anything to. It's a safe place. And especially during the difficult time, she was a safe place when I didn't feel necessarily safe in the marriage to talk about things. And so, I see her every 2 weeks. I will say, as far as my gender dysphoria, being able to present more femme, helps, which more femme just means more feminine. Like I said, nails or I have got my ears pierced a month ago. Mm-hmm. Another way that really helps my gender dysphoria is, when I just reached out to my friends that are girls, and that's been a great, great thing has really opened up as April has seen me come into myself and realize that when I get together one-on-one for coffee with one of my girl friends, it's not a sexual thing. It's not a romantic thing. I am just connecting with them on a more...
That has been an adjustment for me because I grew up with a lot of the males around me believing in the Billy Graham rule. And if you don't know what that is, that's that a male or a woman should never be alone with someone of the opposite sex at any point because you could lust or temptations, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so it was that took some adjusting for me. But also another way that we make this work too is that it's really cool that Beecher gets to like play dress up with our girls and mm-hmm. paint their nails with our daughters yeah. and they love it. And I accidentally outed them to our 5-year-old a few weeks ago, but she's handled it well and asked questions and, you know, we're obviously giving her very age appropriate answers as much as she can handle. But
we started, you know, about a year ago showing her people on Instagram that were non-binary. Mm-hmm. And some of these were assigned male at birth and look more mask. Some of them are Demi Lovato, who was assigned female at birth, but is non-binary. Mm-hmm. So we tried to kind of introduce her to the idea of non-binary. And then, as April said about a month ago, it came out over dinner because April forgot that I wasn't out
yet. I had a complete brain fart and just... Because we talk about it all the time and I just... assumed that she knew.
Yeah. In the next 3 days, she had a lot of questions. The day after, she told you that she was embarrassed. And said she's 5. Yeah. She's honest, and we want her to be honest. We want to give her a safe place without ridicule or scorn to be open mm-hmm. and honest. And she said she was embarrassed of me, which is crazy that a 5-year-old going to kindergarten would have that thought. But she did. And April, I wasn't around for it. April talked with her, right?
Yeah, I explained to her why it wasn't embarrassing and that it was actually a great thing that daddy felt comfortable mm-hmm. enough to really be themselves and that some people go their entire lives without fully being themselves. Yeah. And so it was a good conversation that, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. And the next day, Raylan sat with me on the couch. That's our oldest. And she, for probably 15, 20 minutes, which for a 5-year-old is a really long time for her to be engaged on one topic, wanted me to show her non-binary people, was asking me questions. She held out her arm and asked me to check if she was non-binary. It was really, really cute, and we had a really good discussion. And now she knows, and it's a normal thing. She'll still talk about it some, but it's not a deal breaker. There's no fear with her as we talk about it, as we discuss it. She just, she knows it's a thing. And she already saw me wear dresses around the house and stuff, so it was already, I don't think, too shocking to her. But
yeah. But. Well, and right when we first told her, she goes, "That's why Daddy plays dress up." And
yeah.
It was like clicked. I'm like, yeah. But also, guys can just do that and it's fine. We're definitely trying to teach that there are no gendered things. Like, there's no boy things. There's no girl things. Like, you just like what you like because you just need to be who you are. And that's the best way to honor God and to honor, you know, your faith is to just live authentically as you were made to be.
Yeah.
So
are you still attracted to me?
Yes.
Because I feel like there's probably a lot of wives or husbands, honestly, that are looking at their spouse that's going through a transition and a change. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that could be something that a lot of them are struggling with.
Yeah. And we'll get into this further down the road. But that was a fear of mine that I had, was that I wouldn't be attracted. Mm-hmm. Especially because early on, Beecher would go like full femme, like full face of makeup, hair done, fake eyelashes, the works. And I wasn't always necessarily attracted to that. But that was why I started going to see a therapist. But I also had other issues because of purity culture, being raised that, you know, kind of believing that I was an object of that. And I was assaulted in my 20s. And so there was just a lot going against our intimacy. But that has all resolved itself in the last year because of therapy and because of just an openness that, and I think too, you also gave me a lot of grace and a lot of room to ask questions, because especially on the gender stuff, you were ahead of me. Mm-hmm. I was the one that was scared. We also live in a very conservative area. Like, this area went 77% for Trump. And we got death threats in the summer of 2020 because we went to a lot of our local Black Lives Matter protests to we were protesting a Confederate statue that's there to move it to a museum. And I literally just recorded the white people that showed up to counter protest us. And they were just being racist. And I would post it on TikTok and then they'd go viral. And BuzzFeed interviewed me for it. And when that posted, like, I literally got death threats. So I was like, I don't want another reason to get death threats. People around here are a little unhinged.
I feel like so much of it too in this journey, as far as looking to April's reaction, it was like, wait, are we feeling a fear because of the society's reaction to when I go out in an eyeliner and a dress? Are we doing it because you're afraid that you won't be attracted to me and then we're going to lose all sexual intimacy? Are you afraid that we're going to go to hell because of this? I mean, there was a number of things.
All of the above at some point. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think you going to a therapist. So I started going to therapists before April. I needed it. Like, I hit a point where I was basically suicidal. I had to start seeing someone several years ago. April never hit that low of a point, but I saw a difference once you started seeing someone to help you just sort some things out, because you would have emotions and then you wouldn't necessarily be able to pinpoint why it bothered you so much that I'd shave my legs.
And I would also kind of bottle up a lot of those emotions because you were very sensitive for a long time. Yeah. Because it was just such a personal issue for you. So sometimes I'd feel like I was walking on eggshells because I would have a question and was like, I think that question might be offensive. I don't want to ask it. No. So having a therapist for sure, as a neutral party that I could just, like, a safe place to ask questions and to say how I was feeling and to just be able to process that in a healthy and in a safe environment and not processing that with my non-binary spouse who could spiral if I said anything.
Because it, like, the pattern we fell into was April for a while was the only person that knew.
Right.
So when she would have any sort of reaction, it was an offensive question or a negative reaction, I that was the only response I'd ever gotten from anyone. And so I just imagined that was the entire world. And then you'd be like, well, I need to tell someone. And I'm like, I know, just don't make it me. Find someone else. She's like, I can't just go tell someone. So it was such a big help, I think, when I started seeing someone that special. I went to counseling for 10 years, but recently in the past 2 to 3 years, started seeing one that specialized in that. And that was huge. And I think April doing it. Okay, I think this is an important question. And I don't think we necessarily get into a ton of detail because we don't want to make this an R-rated podcast.
Ooh, okay.
Are we still intimate? Do we still have sex? Because I will say I follow some people on Instagram that still stay in kind of a marriage that they're best friends. They make it work. But that's something that's now off the table because one of their spouses have transitioned.
Yes. The answer is yes. We are still intimate. Thanks for asking me. I know that you know that. I'm such a nerd. I'm so awkward sometimes. Yes. Yes. And it's the best sex of our life. And we can get back. I mean, we might get into detail. I don't know if my family's going to be listening to this, but
I mean, I will say, once again, without getting into detail, we have hit a place that in our sexual intimate life, we allow each other to express how we feel, how we feel like expressing ourselves. And I think having more freedom in gender expression, having more freedom in how we love each other and be intimate with each other has been amazing, because we're not trying to fit these roles in the bedroom and out of the bedroom. We are still, like I said earlier, still monogamous. We don't have any other sexual partners. I'm very sexually fulfilled in this marriage. And I will say, even when I was presenting mask and not wearing women's clothes ever, and like really suppressing it all, we did not have good sex life. It was really, really rough. And we'll get into that later. But I will say now, if you're wondering, do we make this work? Are we still intimate? Yes. And that won't be for everybody. It won't be for every marriage. But, you know, we reached a point where it works for us. And I think that's a big, I'm blessed that you realize that you weren't straight, that you're either pan or bi, because you realize that what you're more attracted to. And that's been a lot of fun.
When we were going through all this, we would have loved to have had another couple that we could look to, just to hear how they went, like how they handled it and what they did and how they said, because there's no manual or roadmap for your partner coming out as trans non-binary. And what do you do that, especially when you grew up pretty evangelical conservatives? Like, oh my gosh, we're going to hell. I don't believe that anymore, but yeah.
My last tip to anyone out there that's managing this relationship is start to open your eyes to other people who are non-binary, other people who are trans. Jeffrey Marsh, Alok. There's just a number of people that you can check out.
There's a lot on TikTok.
If you start, and a lot on TikTok. Hashtag. And we wouldn't be where we were. We would not be where we were without the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting. I know people complain about the internet all the time, but being able to see other people, connect with other people, and while we never found a couple that had our story exactly, or like really we could listen to like this, we absolutely saw people, and that started to expand our mind. And it was easier for April to accept more when she was seeing it from other people, and for me to accept more and accept myself when I saw others going through similar things.
And as we continue, you know, telling our story through this podcast, there's a good chance that we could skip over some things, or we just don't think of some things. And truthfully, we're still learning. This is an ongoing process for us. So if you are, especially if you're in the trans community and we say something that needs correcting, or you want to inform us of something, like, please feel free to reach out to us and let us know. Or if this is your first introduction to gender identity and gender dysphoria, like, please don't let us be the end-all be-all, and let this be a launching pad to jump off into your own research, because there's tons of resources out there.
And there's kind of a saying around the trans community that I've heard several people say to me, that if you've met one trans person, you've met one trans person. So realize that everyone's story is different, and what applies to us may not apply to everyone. And I think that's what's so great about opening your eyes up to other people and their stories as well.
If you have any questions about our story or any comments about something that we say, you can reach out to us. We have an email address, and it's at nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com. That's no spaces, no dashes, just nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com. Or you could reach out to us individually on TikTok or Instagram. I'm at April Joy. You're at
Hello Beecher.
Hello Beecher.
I just changed it, and I can't wait.
On TikTok.
Do you know what I'm about to do?
You're going to check your views.
I'm about to check my views.
You're out.
How many people?
The world knows, or at least 20 people. So let us know, give us a rating, and our next episode, we're probably going to go back to the beginning.
Yes.
We're talking panic attacks for a whole summer middle school. The beginning of Beecher.
And the beginning of you. Kind of what our lives were like before before our stars crossed.
Yes. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you on the next episode of The Non-Binary Marriage. Thanks for listening to the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. We would love if you would take the time to leave us a review or a 5-star rating wherever you listen. And if you need to get a hold of us, you can email us at nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com or individually on TikTok or Instagram at April A. Joy or at Hello Beecher. Stay tuned for new episodes coming out weekly. Thanks again for listening.